again and again and again. We just sang Thomas Edison's favorite praise and worship song, I Saw the Light. Thank you so much. The scripture today is just one verse, but it's taken from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a part of the opening of the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitudes. Jesus declares, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. And what he's saying is that these are persons in doing God's will have the blessing of God and the peace of God in their hearts. And so I want to lift up now this beatitude from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the longest running family feuds in America was the feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys. It raged for years and years from 1863 to 1891. It was one of those times in our country where it just seemed like there was a conflict that wouldn't go away. But then over the years, something significant happened. And in the year 2000, there was a family reunion of the Hatfields and the McCoys, and they decided to have the family reunion together with one another in the year 2000. And it was at that time that they realized how, you know, God had worked in their families in so many miraculous ways over the years, from generation to generation to generation. And they knew they needed to do something to celebrate the fact that the conflict they once had was over. And so actually it was in the year 2003, they had an official documented truce. And it was done up just right. It was notarized and everything, in which they signed a peace agreement with one another, and that was in 2003. And then the governor of both West Virginia and the governor of Kentucky, the states from which these two families were from, declared that from then on, June the 14th would be National Reconciliation Day. Now, when they signed the proclamation, this was in it. We ask by God's grace and love that we be forever remembered as those that bound together the hearts of two families to form a new family, a family of freedom, peace, and love. Now, that's a story you don't hear too often, but it's a story we need to hear in our world today. And it's a story that I'm going to tell here today. Because the story that we have to proclaim to the world is good news. God is a reconciler. God reconciles us to Him and to one another. And Jesus says those who are peacemakers will be called children of God. And to be a peacemaker and a follower of Jesus, well, those two things just go simply hand in hand. Because to be a peacemaker is what it we are called, is what we are called to do. And Jesus, in turn, then 2 Corinthians 5:18, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're about in the world. That's what we're about as Christians. We have a ministry of reconciliation. And so it's so very important as we go through this series on mercy that we look a little closer at something that's important, and that is this. Mercy is kind. Mercy is kind to enemies. That's probably the hardest commandment that Jesus ever gave us. But it is so very important in our lives. Very quickly, I'm going to lift up to you something that's important. Do you realize no one ever really teaches us how to make peace? I mean, we get glimpses of it here and there. We should learn how to do it in our own homes. But there's not a course that you can take that I know of. There's not any kind of formal training. How do you become a reconciler? How do you become a peacemaker? Well, you know what? We're the people who are to practice that within our community and model it before the whole world. And so the body of Christ has developed principles, and I'll just lift up a couple of principles to you and run through these principles very quickly, but I hope that you'll pay attention to them and that you'll want to return to them, because this is our job. And the first principle is a very important principle. It's the principle of make the first move. Who is the person who should make the first move when there is conflict? The other person or ourselves? It's us. You know, God's word says that before you place your gift on the altar, if you remember that there's a person who's angry with you, a person with whom you have conflict, leave your gift and go to that person and make peace. We're called to make the first move. And there's a good reason for that, because God made the first move towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love towards us. You see, God made the first move towards us. And so we are to take the initiative and we are to make the first move. The second principle is this: ask God for wisdom. Don't try to be a peacekeeper on your own. As they say on TV, don't try this at home by yourselves. We need God's wisdom. You know, we need God's wisdom. We need to say something like this: God, you know, I need your wisdom. I don't really know all that I need to know in terms of the word to say, or the place we need to meet, or how to do this, the timing. What is the timing? What is the way that I could do this? But in James, the epistle of James in the first chapter, there's a promise. Whoever lacks wisdom, let him or her ask God, and God will give them wisdom. We believe that. We believe that God gives us wisdom. And you know, Proverbs says that a word that is fitly spoken is like golden apples in a silver platter. You know, it could be something as simple as this: hey, Joe, could we go get a cup of coffee? My treat. Could we talk a little bit? Hey, you know, I've been thinking about us. I don't know how it might work out, but ask God for wisdom. Always ask God for wisdom. Don't do this on your own. Then I think that the third principle, and a very important principle, is start with your own confession. Start with your own confession. If you think about it, in every conflict, there's always something that each person or each party really needs to confess. Do you know what the two most significant causes of conflict are in relationships, especially in a marriage? Pride and selfishness. There's a little bit of pride in all of us that's destructive, and there's a little bit of selfishness in all of us that's a little bit destructive. And so you share your confession first. And you know, Jesus said something like this in Matthew chapter 7, again in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, why are you so concerned about taking the speck out of your brother's eye when there's a log in your own eye? First take the log out of your eye. That's something to remember. And so that's a principle of start with your own confession. And you know what I've discovered? If I go first, the other person will usually follow. Because why? Because we have created an atmosphere of trust and gracefulness. Another principle that we need to lift up is listen to their pain and perspective. Now that takes patience to actually be still and to listen to another person share their pain that they have so often, because they ascribe it to coming from you. Hearing their perspective, which is sometimes not what we want to hear. We want them to hear our perspective, but it's very, very important that we listen first to hear their pain and perspective. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Which do you think we should use more? We should use our ears twice as much as our mouth. And in James, again, the first chapter of James, that's an epistle of wisdom. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you listen first, if you hear the other person's pain, whether you agree with the reason for it or not, if you listen, you gain empathy towards another person. You know what WMDs are? They're words of massive destruction. They are harmful words. And we need to eradicate harmful words from our vocabulary. And then, of course, the next principle is a very important one. It is fix the problem, not the blame. You know, if we're trying to fix the blame, we're not going to fix the problem. If we're always attacking the person, we're not attacking the issue. And so we need to fix the problem and not the blame. You know, the last principle is so very important for us to remember as well. Focus on reconciliation, not resolution. That sounds a little bit strange, but what do I mean by that? Well, it's possible to have reconciliation without resolution. Now, sometimes you can have both, but what's really important is to focus on the reconciliation. The reconciliation is coming to that place when you can come together and bury the hatchet. And that reestablished the fact that you have a relationship. It doesn't necessarily that you need to get back together again or anything like that. But what it means is from now on, between me and you, there is peace. The hatchet has been buried. And that is something we can always work on. And you see, resolution is about coming to an agreement on every little thing that we disagree on. And sometimes that's impossible to become, you know, fully agreeable on everything because we're all different. But we can disagree without becoming disagreeable. We can walk hand in hand without seeing sometimes eye to eye. And you know, you're never persuasive when you're abrasive. And so we need to realize that we can have uniformity. We can have unity without uniformity. We can have reconciliation without resolution. There are so many times in my ministry when I've seen this happen. But I have to say this. You don't see it very often because it's hard. It's not as simple as doing step one, step two, step three, step... It's messy. There is no formula for this. The only formula I know for this is sticking with it by God's grace. Because this is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do. And you know, you look at the world today and the conflicts that we have. It's an awesome responsibility to realize we've been entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation. And I believe that the church can be a part of what God wants to do in the world today. But my God, is it scary? It is downright dangerous and scary. But God's word says that we're to take courage. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord says, "For you, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline." God will give us the courage to be a reconciler, to be a peacemaker. God will give us that capacity. And so there's been times when I've seen people receive that from the Lord and actually do it. And perhaps you've been one of those persons. And you know the peace that results when you've been able to be a part of those conversations that ultimately have led to a new place in your relationship. Now, I mentioned that we're in this series on mercy. And so here's your to-do for this week. I want you to make sure you have a mercy card. Get a large index card and just write mercy on it. In crayon or magic marker or whatever you want to do, but write mercy on it. Now, you don't have to take it with you all the time, but I want you to actually make one and then remember it. And I want you in your mind to be able to see yourself pick it up and look at it when you need it. because sometimes this week you're going to need it for yourself. How many of y'all are kind to yourselves all the time? You know, I'm not. There's been times when I haven't been kind to myself. But you see, God has been kind to me. In God's goodness, He's been kind to me. God has been very kind to me. You know, when I've been most unlovable is when I've received the most love from God. And that's the way it is. You know, when is it that people most need love? It's when they're most unlovable. Well, I've received that love from God when I've been unlovable. So now I need to remind myself that God is looking at me in a kind way, and I can look at myself in a kind way. And that mercy card needs to be pulled out for myself. Stop it. Be kind to yourself. You try hard. You fail. Be kind to yourself. It's all about mercy. Apart from mercy, I don't see any hope for us and for our world. So we got to practice it, first of all, with ourselves. So anytime this week you need it, pull out that card. Mercy. Say, mercy me. Say after me. Mercy me. You can do it. I know you can do it. And then there'll be times this week when you'll need to actually see a time when you could be a peacemaker. That doesn't mean it all happens at once. Very rarely do you just poof, all of a sudden you can make something happen. But you can plant a seed. You sure can plant a seed. God's word says something about that. James chapter 3 verse 18. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. So in the coming week, you may have an opportunity to plant a seed of peace. Just by the way you present yourself, walk into a room, smile, say a kind word. You'll have an opportunity to plant a seed. And there's a promise there that you'll reap a harvest of goodness. So this coming week, I want you to think in terms of planting seeds of peace. You hear bad news on the radio or the TV, plant a seed of peace by offering up a prayer. You see, I am not going to concede this world to destruction. I am not going to concede it to the devil. This world belongs to God, and I will forever stand up and say there is an alternative way for us to live. And if not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then the next day. If not the next day, then someday. But one day, I know things will be the way they need to be. And so I'm going to keep on planting seeds. And I want you to have that mercy card to pull out this week and to plant a seed of peace to the people you meet. Polly and I enjoy praying with persons, and perhaps you need a special word of prayer today. We'll be glad to pray with you. As we close out this service, I will remind you of all the different ways that you can receive help. We have Stephen ministers. We have a list of counselors that we can send people to, or we refer people to. If you're in a relationship that's difficult, if you're struggling with something, if you got a real toughie on your hands, let me know. Let us know. We'll help find the resources that you need. Again, the most important thing that we can do is to realize that God is a God of mercy, and God will help us to become people of mercy. Let us stand as you are now invited for prayer.